Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit my webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law news and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on Being Left Behind, the Rapture Story, right after this. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Well, it's obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, public institutions, and our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. They teach these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school without even your knowledge, much less your consent? That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the benefits for their observance. You know, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer its effect. So whether you call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or something else, it's automatic, and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free General Law CD package? That's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, why don't you go to the website, georgegordon.org. It's an easy one, georgegordon.org. Click on the email. Send an email request for that free General Law CD package, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we've been going through this thing called the Rapture. 70 million people here in America believe in the Rapture. That's one out of every four people. That's a bunch. 70 million people believe in the Rapture, and after all, it's a good doctrine to believe in. It's what everybody wants to hear. It's easy, fast, efficient, cheap, and it takes all the stress out of this thing called the Great Tribulation that we read about in Matthew 24 in the book of Revelation. But you know, I think it does a disservice to everybody because I don't think that God intended for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven the easy, fast McDonald's way through the drive-up window. I think that if the scripture means what it says and says what it means, in Acts chapter 14, verse 22, it tells us that it's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the rapture people, they've got it very simple and straightforward. No, that's not true. God, you made a mistake. It's not through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's through the rapture and not being left behind. That's the way we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, I don't know. I didn't write that, so don't get mad at me. It's Acts 14, verse 22. And there's another little story over here that I thought didn't fit in with the rapture. It's over in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 14. In verse 13, just to give us a little context here, it says, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, Well, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said unto him, Well, sir, you know. And he said to me, Well, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, and neither shall the sunlight, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living waters or fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Now these people, I don't know how many this is, if it's everybody that comes up in the resurrection or not, but there's a bunch of people right there that went through tribulation. Now, I use the term the Great Tribulation because there's only one. And in Matthew 24, we get a warning, and this is another reason why I don't put much stock into this thing called the tribulation, and that's because a warning is for the purpose of giving you an opportunity to avoid dire consequences. I mentioned the two copperheads that live out here in my greenhouse. I leave them there. You know, copperheads aren't all that nasty. They're pretty timid snakes, and they eat a lot of slugs and bugs, and they keep the greenhouse free of pests. They're a natural pest killer. They eat insects and bugs and crickets and slugs and one thing and another. And I've mentioned to my students, you know, if you want to walk through the greenhouse, go ahead. But, you know, if you get bit in the process, you know, after all, I told you, I warned you that there was two out there. Now, nobody's ever been bit. My wife works in the greenhouse all the time, and I do, and my daughter, and we've never been bit. But, you know, I'd be remiss if I had a student come here to school and told him, hey, listen, why don't you just take a shortcut through the greenhouse out to the parking lot, and without telling him, you know, that there's a couple of poison snakes and they live out there. So you tell somebody of a potential hazard. You tell them about a ditch or a hole in the ground, or you tell them about a mean bull or a potentially mean bull that they might encounter as they're walking through the North 40. And you do that to give them an opportunity to, you know, caveat emptor, don't you? Well, Matthew 24 is a warning chapter. And the only reason that I can see for putting this warning chapter in here is to give me an opportunity to watch out for the danger. Now, this chapter deals with the tribulation. In fact, tells you that very plainly. In Matthew 24, verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple with his disciples and came to him, or his disciples came to him, and Jesus said to them, well, see all these things? Truly I say to you that there shall not here be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now you go over to Jerusalem today, and there's the Wailing Wall, the foundation to the second temple, the same temple that Jesus was looking at. And he said, see this temple? Not one stone will be left upon another. Now I've heard Billy Graham say that Christ could come tonight. I don't believe that. I don't believe it because of Matthew 24, too. He said, not one stone will be left upon another. Now, the fact that those stones haven't been thrown down yet doesn't tell me that Christ didn't know what he was talking about. It tells me that that prophecy is still in the making, and that that prophecy is not going to come to fruition until it's time for him to return. Now, that's what it says to me. Now, that's assuming that Jesus knew what he was talking about and told us the truth, because there's a couple other prophecies in here. Verse 3, he says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, well, tell us, when shall these things be? When? Give us a time frame. And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So they're asking, if, you know, when it's time for the end of the age to come, the end of this present world to come and the millennium to begin, the new phase, you know, this phase 2, what are the signs going to be like, you know? What are we looking for? So the Messiah said, well, Jesus answered and said to them, verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Well, now, there's a prophecy that's come to pass, because in this country we have 476 religious denominations, organizations, cults, sects, and divisions, all incorporated, of course, and then there's a bunch on top of that that are unincorporated, and these are all churches, and they all teach about Jesus, and they all teach something different. And if any one of them's got the truth, then the other 475 are wrong, and they're lying deceivers. Some of them may be wolves in sheep's clothing that are lying deceivers and know it, and some may be lying and believe that they're telling the truth, but they all can't have the truth now, can they? So that prophecy has come to pass, and we can see that one in operation today. The next one over here, verse 6, he says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end isn't yet. Remember, what's the question? Give us a sign. Tell us when you're coming back. And he says, well, here's three signs. One, you see all these rocks stacked up here in this temple? Well, every one of them is going to be thrown down. Well, they haven't all been thrown down yet, so that tells me it ain't time yet. Got a dated prophecy here. He says, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, wars have been going on for thousands of years. But you know, we've graduated now from bows and arrows and spears to atomic weapons. I mean, we can kill people pretty expeditiously today. In fact, we have reached that point in history when we could annihilate all life from off the planet. And Jesus mentions that right here in verse 22. He says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. So in this period of time, when it's possible in a thermonuclear war to annihilate everybody from off the planet, the Messiah said, but I'm going to cut it short so that doesn't happen. A little good news. So nuclear war isn't going to kill us all, but there's a tribulation coming. And he uses that word, tribulation, here in this chapter. So if you'll look up the word tribulation in Strong's Concordance, and there are about 10, 15 times, and there's a real doctrine here called tribulation. In fact, the Messiah said that this tribulation is going to be worse than Noah's flood. Now, that was a pretty bad period of time, Noah's flood. Wouldn't you think? Killed everybody in the world but 8 people. Now, if you'd have thought about this for a minute, don't you think God should have raptured Noah and his family up to heaven for a year, and save that 120-year ark building program in that year on those ancient oceans, you know, for a year? I just, my common sense says that would have been an easier and more expeditious methodology for handling this if, in fact, raptures or saving people out of this by way of taking them to heaven would be in God's plan. But I don't see that anywhere in the Scripture. He's never done it before. And I pointed out here this week that the word rapture doesn't even appear in the Bible. That's a pretty good indication to me that that's probably a spurious doctrine, which is being spread about by wolves in sheep's clothing and lying false prophets. Now, I just told you here in this chapter, you've got to watch out for these liars. You know, people that are teaching about Jesus, teaching about the Messiah, teaching about the Bible, and lying to you at the same time. You got to watch out for those guys. He says, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Now, these earthquakes, you saw this big earthquake just occurred over in the Indian Ocean, killed 150,000. Hey, there's potential for bigger and greater seismic waves than what we just saw there, killing more people. In fact, I was just watching Nature tonight, and they were talking about Hawaii. And the one thing in Hawaii that kills more people, natural disaster that kills more people than any other, is tsunamis. I didn't know that until I saw Nature tonight. So there's been a number of these tidal waves hit in Hawaii, and they said on any given day in Hawaii, there's 170,000 people within 100 yards of the ocean, suntanning, swimming in the ocean. 170,000 people on any given day in Hawaii on the beaches. Now just picture this, and they've got waves, you know, that hit 60 feet that have hit Hawaii. They had one that hit Hawaii and washed up 1,200 feet. I don't know how big the wave was, but 1,200 feet up on the cliffs. Now, those are some pretty big seismic waves. Now, remember, one of the prophecies here that Jesus talked about was earthquakes in diverse places. And earthquakes over the last 100 years are getting more frequent worldwide and bigger earthquakes than ever before. They're slowly but surely becoming more numerous and greater in intensity. Now, isn't that just special? So there's another prophecy here in Matthew 24 that we can see coming to pass right in front of our eyeballs. And in verse 8, he says, but all of these are the beginning of sorrows. This is just the beginning of it. We haven't gotten into the Great Tribulation yet. And this Great Tribulation lasts 3.5 years, 1,260 days. Just go to Revelation chapter 11. I think I got that marked down here. Let me see if I can give you the citation. Revelation chapter 11. Have I got it here? I wrote this down in my notes over here. I'll come to it here in a little bit. Yeah, here it is, number 36. 1,260 days, Revelation 11:3. 3.5 years in Revelation 12:14. Now, these guys are talking about, you know, this rapture thing over here, and this pre-tribulation rapture. They got 7 years in the thing. They got 45 days in the thing. I can't find 45 days, and I can't find 7 years connected with the tribulation, but I can find 3.5 years, time and a half of times, 1,260 days, and so can you. So we know that that's scriptural. We know that that's biblical. We know that that's doctrine. Now, the question arises, are you going to have to live through this great tribulation? And the answer is, yep, you are. You and me are going to go through the great tribulation, unless we get killed in the process or sometime before then. If you live to see the second coming of Christ, you're going to live through the Great Tribulation, each and every one of us. Now, of course, what the rapture people are selling is something that everybody wants to buy, and that is you don't have to go through the Great Tribulation. You can believe in Jesus, believe in the rapture, and be raptured off to heaven and be spared and protected from it. And that's wonderful, and I'd like to get in on that program. Unfortunately, I don't think that program exists, so I'm going to go with the original program that's spelled out here in the scripture, which means we got to prepare for it. Let me give you a couple, three scriptures here to talk about preparation. First one here is with Noah. Noah had to prepare for 120 years to save himself and his family with an ark through the great flood. There wasn't any magic formula where, Noah, you're a good guy and Jesus is just going to whip you up to heaven and save you and you don't have to worry about a thing and you don't have to work. That's number one. Number two is Joseph in Egypt. Joseph had to prepare for 7 years, store up the food, and then distribute it over the next seven, a 14-year program. There wasn't any, Jesus is going to come down here and solve all your problems for you, and you don't have to do anything. Just kick back and relax. And you'll notice here that in Acts 14, verse 22, it tells us it's with much tribulation that you enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, the third one is in this parable, chapter 25 of Matthew. It deals with these 10 virgins. Listen to this. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels, and with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom came. Go you out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, well, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you too. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, the Lord, Lord, open to us. And he said to them, well, truly I say unto you, I know you not. So watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So this second coming, when it comes, is going to be a total surprise to everybody. Total surprise. In fact, he tells you here that there will be two people out in the field, and one of them will be taken, and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and the other one left. That's not a rapture. That's the second coming. It all happens in one day. And when you get raptured off, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 tells you the answer to this rapture story. You're going to get raptured off, all right, and you're going to take off from your field that you're working in up in Nebraska, and you're going to be whipped up into the clouds, into the air, and over to Jerusalem, where you're going to descend on the Mount of Olives with the Messiah. You'll be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Now, I know that you would like to be raptured away, and so would I. I don't look forward to going through this great tribulation. I didn't even like preparing for it. I have a school that I call Subsistence and Survival. There are 64 life-threatening problems. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Revelation 6, 17 and 18, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 outline these 64 life-threatening problems. Earthquakes and tsunami waves, that's part of it. Tornadoes, hurricanes, just had 4 hurricanes come through Florida. And you guys down in Florida are wondering, well, gee, is this just a natural phenomenon? No, it's not. In fact, out of the 33 benefits, why don't we just cover that right quickly, 33 benefits. He says, I'm gonna make everything that you do, you'll be blessed in everything that you do. That's in Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. Do you believe that a hurricane coming through your town and blowing your house down is a blessing? Do you believe that? Do you believe that a tidal wave that comes through your town and levels everything around, turns it into a wasteland, kills 150,000 people, do you think that's a blessing? I tell you, boys and girls, that's a curse. That's a curse. And it's something that you're protected from if, in fact, you'll practice the law of God. The reason that you get punished, the reason you get venereal diseases are for violating the law that says thou shalt not commit adultery. And that's the bottom line. See, the Ten Commandments aren't 10 suggestions, they're 10 laws. If you violate those laws, you got to pay the penalty. And the penalties are automatic. AIDS, herpes, and VD is simply the automatic penalty that you trigger when you violate that adultery law. And this is the way life is. Don't get mad at me. I didn't make it that way. I'm just reporting, just a reporter. Now, we're entitled to rain in due season. We're entitled to the land yielding its increase for us. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your stores of goods shall not run out. There shall be no famines or shortages. You will dwell in your land safely. I'll give you peace in the land. I'll rid evil beasts out of the land. You shall have no war in your land. You know, when you have a war in your land, like you people over in Iraq have a war over in your land right now, that's a curse to you people. That's not a blessing. We haven't had a war here in the United States since, 1812 was the last big one. Oh, we had a few skirmishes over here, you know, like the Civil War, and that wasn't any skirmish, and that wasn't any blessing. So I shouldn't say War of 1812, the Civil War was a curse to us. But since then, you know, God has protected us Americans. Now that's coming to an end. We're going to get our comeuppance here pretty shortly. But moral of the story is, you know, the better you practice the law of God, the better your blessings are. He goes on and he tells us, now I'm citing from Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. These are the blessings that you're entitled to. He says, I'll have respect to you, and you shall chase your enemies. They shall fall before you by the sword. I'll make you fruitful and multiply you. I'll establish my covenant with you. I'll set my tabernacle among you. My soul shall not abhor you. I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. You'll be set above all nations on the earth. You'll be blessed in the city, blessed by the fruit of your body. Blessed shall be the fruit of your cattle. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. You'll be blessed in everything that you do. You'll be a holy people unto God. All the people of the earth will be afraid of you. You'll lend but not borrow. And you'll be the head and not the tail in all that you do. I'll take sickness away from you. 70 years, all of your days shall be fulfilled. And you shall inherit the land, and you shall gain great wealth. Multiply gold, silver, herds, and flocks, and you shall be set on high above all the nations. 33 articulable benefits that you're entitled to. You're going to get them all. Now, some of these benefits are being taken away from us. Here, just take a look at some of these over here. He said 70 years, all of your days will be fulfilled. Well, the average lifespan in the United States is 70 years. In fact, it's better than that, 75 and a half. So we're entitled to 70, and we're on average collecting 75 and a half. Now, that's pretty good. We're collecting that. But did you notice here that there's a couple, three of these over here that are getting kind of iffy? All the people of the earth will be afraid of you. Well, they're not exactly afraid of us over in Iraq. I mean, they're fighting us tooth and tongue over there. And you'll notice here that I'll have respect to you. I'll make you fruitful and multiply you. Hey, listen, our birth rate has gone down here in the United States for us white Anglo-Saxons. And guess what? The birth rates of the blacks and Hispanics is mushrooming. In fact, we used to have 90% of the population. Today, it's down to 68%. Woo, what's going to happen when these other races become the majority and we're the minority? Think maybe they might remember the Mexican War of 1846? So some of these are being taken away from us. Like, I'll give you peace in the land. Have you noticed how many gangs we got running around in our streets today? I'll rid evil beasts from the land. And we've got our Department of Natural Resources reestablishing wolves, bears, and cougars all over the country. Evil beasts coming back. And he says, I'll have respect to you. I'll make you fruitful and multiply you. I'll establish my covenant with you. I'll set my tabernacle among you. My soul shall not abhor you. I'll be your God, and you'll be my people. It used to be that way in this country. We've rejected our God. We now have a new God. Evolutionary philosophy. That's our new God. And it's coming back to bite us in the butt. Now, that's what the bottom line is. Now, the religious people in the land, they see that there's trouble a-brewing, and they're sitting there saying, well, we need a solution to this, and the preachers, Now, especially this guy, Tim LaHaye. Now, he wrote 14 books, sold 80 million of them. 14 books, 80 million copies sold. The guy's made pretty good money off of them, and I don't begrudge anybody making good money off of a fiction book. But I kind of begrudge the guy for calling this the Word of God. Fiction is not the Word of God. God isn't a fiction writer. Well, at least that's my take on it. All right, so you're entitled to these benefits. And we're seeing our benefits now are being taken away from us, and the curses are starting to come upon us. Four hurricanes in Florida in a month, that's not a blessing. That war in Iraq, hey, that's not a blessing. That war in Afghanistan came off pretty well. Now, we were attacked, and we reciprocated. And the war in Afghanistan went well. You can't kick about that one. But we weren't attacked by the Iraqis, and that war in Iraq ain't going so good. Did you notice that? Just thought I'd point that out to you. By the way, there's a law on war and the way you go to war and the way, you know, you're entitled to self-defense, but you're not entitled to be an aggressor and go out there and these preemptive wars or preemptive strikes. You're not entitled to that one. All right, now I told you about Joseph in Egypt for 7 years. Now, you know, he prepared. I told you about Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and Noah. That's Genesis chapter 6 through 9. Now, those chapters tell you that you need to prepare for this great tribulation. 64 life-threatening problems you've got to face, confront, and overcome. And if you can't overcome all 64 of these life-threatening problems, of what value is it to you to overcome 63 and get killed by number 64? Or to overcome most of them but get killed by number 13, 27, or 44? I mean, you know, you either survive or you don't. You're either going to live to the second coming, or you're going to live to die of old age. Now, the way you want to go check out of this program, you want to go to bed like my great-grandfather, Abe Snyder. He went to bed at 10:30 at night, and at 7:30 in the morning, they went up, knocked on his door, and they walked in, and old Abe was dead, died in his sleep with his boots off in bed in the middle of the night. And in those days, they used to put the obituaries in the paper, and they said, well, he died of natural causes. Natural cause. Just got old and wore out. Heart stopped pumping. He was asleep and never knew what happened. When old Abe comes up, it'll be in the resurrection, either the first or the second, one or the other. Old Abe will come up in the resurrection. That'll be his next conscious moment. But, you know, people are starting to die pretty hard. They're dying from cancer, heart attack, stroke, Lou Gehrig's disease. Have you noticed all these diseases and plagues? Well, those diseases and plagues are a part of the Great Tribulation. And these diseases are getting worse. For instance, you've heard me mention this before. In 1900, 1 in 33 of us would get cancer in our lifetime. Today, it's 1 in 2. Now, there's a reason for that. Lifestyle. And, you know, we want to eat pizza, white bread, white flour, white sugar, salt, fat, blood. You know, we want to eat this good stuff. And then we want to have good health. And so then we go to the medical doctor, you know, this medical guru, and he tells us what we want to hear. And he sells us a product. Just like these preachers are selling us the Great Tribulation. They're selling us a product. They're selling us what we want to buy. Unfortunately, it's not the product that's going to save you. That's not the product that I think you're looking for. Now, there is a product, and we'll come to that in just a minute. Hang on here. I've got to take a break and tell you a little story. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, so we can't blame these on the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of the network or of this radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to the website. It's georgegordon.org, or you can call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967, and you can do that if you want to order the free General Law CD package. If you don't want to order it, don't. If you do, it's free. So keep in mind that the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school. It's 417-273-4967, or you can click onto the email machine. Just go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email. It's the best way. It's the George Gordon School of Common Law at USA.net. Now, it's a long, long address. But if you go to the website, you can click onto it, and it'll print it out for you. All right. Remember, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website. All right. So there's our housekeeping out of the way. We're talking about this thing called Left Behind, the rapture story. One out of every four Americans believes in this rapture. But what we look at from the examples we see in the scripture, that is Noah, Joseph, the parable of the 10 virgins, and the testimony of the Apostle Paul in Acts 14, it's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom. And then in Revelation 7:14, we see these people have lived through the tribulation, and they've been martyred. They've been killed. Now, I know that isn't what you want to hear. So you don't want to hear about, well, I went through the tribulation, and I got killed. I was brutally murdered. Nobody wants to go through that. Now, there's a way to avoid that. Let me share with you a couple, three examples of that. Over in Psalms, about Psalms 90, 91, long in there, let me show you a little story. And this little story from the book of Psalms comes from the Old Covenant. See, we got a contract with God, and if you can perform under the terms of that contract, you're entitled to 70 years, 70 years. When you go to a cemetery and you see somebody dead, and you see a gravestone, and he's 47, 50, 60, something like that. There's a guy that's in breach of contract. Now, either God breached the contract and he didn't get his 70 years, or else the guy that's buried in that hole in the ground breached the contract and he didn't collect his 70. Now, what do you think's the solution to that riddle? In Psalm 91, verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come to you. Now, if you're practicing the law, this is why the Ten Commandments and the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments of God are so important. And Jesus told you that they were important. Jesus himself, over in the New Testament, for all you New Testament guys. See, he told you in Matthew 5, verse 17, he said, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, I came to fulfill them. And he did that. And he didn't destroy them. I mean, that's what he said. He said, think not, don't think, put it out of your mind, get it out of your head. I didn't come to destroy the law. I know. The religious people, they come to you and say, no, Jesus lied to you. The law is nailed to the cross with Jesus, taken out of the way, and we don't have to practice that anymore. And then they go over to Galatians and Ephesians and cite those scriptures, off point and out of context. You know, like the law being a schoolmaster. You know, the blind lead the blind, and they both fall in a ditch. I've said this before, you know, if the Ten Commandments were good in Moses' day, how come they're bad in our time? What's wrong with the law that says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt do no murder? Aren't those laws pretty good? You want me to steal from you? You want me to lay your wife? You want me to kill you? You know, you stop and think about it, just reason, logic, and common sense tells you those laws aren't near as bad as we've made them out to be. The worst enemies of the Bible are the preachers. It isn't the longshoremen and the truck drivers. It's the preachers. Longshoremen and truck drivers don't have any vendetta against the Ten Commandments, or against God, or against the law of God. It's the preachers that have a vendetta against God, against the law of God, and against the statutes of God. Guys like Tim LaHaye, they got a vendetta against God. They say, well, God lied to you. No, he's going to rapture you off to heaven. You're not going to have to enter into the kingdom of heaven through much tribulation. It's all done for you. We're going to rapture you off to heaven and be just like driving up to the McDonald's window in your car. You don't even have to get out of your car. It's cheap, easy, convenient. You're going to love it. Now, there's a thing called a guardian angel here. You ever heard this story of a guardian angel? It's in Psalm 91, verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over you and keep you in all of your ways. And they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Now, there's some things that you need to prepare for. And that's why I teach this class on subsistence and survival. A lot of people have said to me, well, I don't need that. I know how to can food and store food. Well, that's important. And I'm glad that you guys know how to store food and know how to dry food and can food and one thing and another. But I don't think food covers all 64. It sounds like to me that just covers one, famine. So if you could feed yourself through the Great Tribulation, that's all well and good, but you got 63 other life-threatening problems. And then you got these guys that are running out here storing guns and ammunition. Well, that's a pretty good plan. If you're planning on fighting a war, you need lots of guns and ammunition. But I always figured it'd be better if we could stay out of a firefight. I think we'd be better off, don't you? I mean, you know, you could be like Tom Mix, and you can go out here and like old Paladin, you know, have gun will travel. You know, you can be the fastest gun in the West, and you can get into 35 gunfights. And you kill 35 guys, but you know there'll be a 36th, a 37th, a 38th, a 57th, and a 59th, and one of those guys at some point in time is going to get you. So my common sense says to me that if we can stay out of these firefights, we'd be a hell of a lot better off. So in my subsistence and survival class, we don't spend a heck of a lot of time on guns and bullets, although you do need a 22 and a few rounds. I mean, you might want to shoot a critter from time to time. You might want to kill a cow, and you might need to shoot him and kill him, put him down so you can cut his throat and bleed him out good. Cut him out and eat him. But I'm not really sure that most people are very well attuned to the Great Tribulation and these 64 life-threatening problems. And especially one person in four who's planning on bypassing this tribulation program altogether and going straight into the tribulation by going to heaven first. All right, so there is a way for you to avoid this Great Tribulation, or at least avoid getting killed in the Great Tribulation. I'd kind of like to avoid getting killed. Now, I don't think I can avoid going through this program. Now, let me show you a couple, three stories here. A good understanding of all they who do his commandments. In Psalm 111, verse 10, a good understanding of all they who do his commandments. You know, the better you practice the law, the better your understanding will be. The better your understanding is, the better your chances of survival are going to be. Now, in Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13, he asks this question. God himself says, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Well, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you shall, or you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet you would not hear. But the word of the Eternal was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. The objective here is for Christians to fall backward, be broken and snared and taken. How do I know that? Well, over in Matthew 13, the Messiah told us the answer to that riddle. Matthew chapter 13. If you got a Bible in front of you, just flip over there. Story of the parable of the Well, he's got a story here. You know, he's got some seed, and he's throwing some seed on the ground, and some of it falls among thorns, and some of it falls on good ground, some of it falls in stony places. And he's telling this story in the form of a parable, and his disciples come up to him one day and say, "Hey, boss, how come you're talking to these people in parables?" And he says, "Well, that's a good question, boys, and we'll gather around, and I'll tell you the answer." In verse 10, he says, his disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to these people in parables?" And in verse 11, he answered and said to them, "Because it's given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given." Well, doesn't that take you back to Matthew 24? "Many shall come in my name, saying that I am the Christ, and deceive many." Do you suppose that a lot of people are coming to us, telling us about the rapture and deceiving many, 1 in 4? It's not the only deception going around out there, but it's a pretty big one. And it's a big one because it takes your eye off the ball. Because like the parable of the virgins, if you don't have your oil, if you're not prepared for these 64 life-threatening problems that are laid out in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, and Revelation, then your chances of surviving this great tribulation, I don't think, are very good. Well, it's 10%. 10% is the number. And that's because in Isaiah 6, verse 13, he tells you what the percentages are. He says, "I'm going to save a tithe alive." Say 10%. Now, there are 30 prophecies in the Bible that deal with this thing called the tribulation. The book of Revelation deals with it in exhaustive detail. And Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 are an extrapolation off of Revelation chapter 6. So, Revelation 6 explains Matthew 24, or Matthew 24 explains Revelation 6. And the reason we know that is because you have to put this line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's called code pleading. Code pleading. The Bible's a legal book. It's a law book. Now, you put those two together. Now, you take a look here in Matthew 13. "For whosoever has, to him shall be given." This is verse 12. "And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." Hey, do you think maybe Tim LaHaye doesn't understand? You think maybe Tim LaHaye can't put line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little together? Maybe he can't code plead. I think he's trained in religion, but I'm not sure he's trained in law. Doesn't sound like it to me. Verse 14, he said, "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah," that comes from Isaiah 6, verses 9 through 13, "in which Isaiah said, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand." Hey, these people hear these scriptures, they don't understand them. And they put these scriptures together, and they come up with this rapture theory, and the rapture doesn't appear in the scripture, but the tribulation does. Passover does. You got these people practicing Christmas, and the Bible tells you not to do that. It's a heathen practice. The Bible tells you to practice the Passover, and you people won't do it. Now, those people over in the Indian Ocean Basin over there just had this terrible tidal wave come over there and kill a bunch of them. 5 million of them are now homeless and so on. Do you think that that happened to those people because they're sinners above all? You know, the Messiah asked that question one time. He's talking about some guys that got killed over on a construction project building a tower. And he said, "Hey, do you think those guys were sinners above all?" He says, "No, but all of you will likewise perish unless you repent." Now, those people over there are pretty wicked, evil people. I know, you sit there and you watch the 6 o'clock news, and it's pretty heartrending, especially for little children over there. But do you know that that's the biggest prostitution area of the world? They take little children over there, age 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 years old, put them into brothels so that Americans, Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders, and Europeans can come over there and screw them. Did you know that? I was just on the news tonight. I was on the Dateline tonight. I've read many a story concerning that. That's right. Around the Indian Ocean, Ceylon, Thailand, and Indonesia, it's the biggest child pornography area of the world. And you know all those thousands and thousands of Americans and Europeans that were over there? You know what they were doing over there? Well, all of the sodomites, not all, but you know, a lot of sodomites go over there so they can take advantage of little boys over there. And those people over there sell their children into these prostitution programs. And I'm just here to tell you that, you know, God comes along, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for that. And he just laid waste to a big piece of real estate over there. Now learn a lesson from that, boys and girls. We're starting to see Matthew 24 coming into fruition. And I've said before, you know, this isn't some guy to be giving the finger to. You know, God's a pretty nice guy, but, you know, he doesn't put up with a lot of nonsense. All right, so here in Matthew 13, then he explains to you the reason for using these parables. It's an extrapolation from Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13. Now listen to this. In John 10, 35, he called them gods, and the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture. That's what I'm reading here. The scripture cannot be broken. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Titus 1, verse 2. Which God that cannot lie. 2 Peter 1:20. No prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. My views on the scripture don't amount to jack squat. You know that? And neither does Tim LaHaye, and neither does Billy Graham or anybody else's. Because the scripture interprets the scripture, and that's what we saw here in the code. It's Isaiah 28:9-13. Now, you use the scripture, and it'll explain the scripture, but the scripture is written in code so that you people, when you're seeing it, can't understand it. And that's because, remember the first scripture I cited to you? A good understanding of all they do his commandments? Well, those that won't do his commandments don't have a good understanding. And they're waiting for the rapture. And when this rapture doesn't come and these people get wiped out, they're going to be sad, aren't they? Just like those people in that earthquake and tidal wave over in the Indian Ocean. Those people are sad. They're over there worshiping false gods. They violate the first commandment. They don't practice the Sabbath. They're selling their children into a white slavery or prostitution. In other words, they don't practice the Ten Commandments. We Americans have stopped practicing the Ten Commandments. Although, we got one thing working for us, though. I want to share this with you. We Americans are practicing about one-third of the laws of God. I did a little research here. Out of 133 subjects, Christians practice 45. Out of 133 titles of law, we Christians, in mass, in general, are practicing approximately one-third of the laws of God. And we're starting to get poorer and poorer results. Now, there was a time when we practiced more and more of this law. Now we're getting to the point where we don't want to practice it at all. And it's not just the evolutionists and the atheists. It's the Christians. They don't want to practice it. All right, so I covered that. Malachi 3:6, he says, I change not. In Matthew 4:4, God tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In Matthew 5:17 through 20, he said, not only think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. He says, whosoever shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now, my common sense tells me, the better I practice this law, the better my chances of coming through the Great Tribulation alive. Now, I'm not going to come through it unscathed. I'm going to suffer just like everybody else. But I'm prepared for it. I've spent a lot of time collecting oil. And I would suggest that you think about preparing for the Great Tribulation. Let's think about it in pragmatic terms. Let's suppose that you stocked up 4-year supply of food, shelter, clothing, paid your debts, got square with the world, obeyed God and kept his commandments, and here comes the Great Tribulation. Now, all your good friends over here are raptured off to heaven, and they don't have a worry in the world, but you and I have to go through the Great Tribulation. Do you suppose that if we miss the rapture and we're prepared for the tribulation, we might be able to weather the storm, kind of like Noah or the five wise virgins or Joseph working his way through the famine in Egypt? Or put another way, do you think God would come down and strike you dead because you prepared for the Great Tribulation? I mean, wouldn't you come up in the judgment and God says, hey, Pete, did you prepare a 4-year food supply? Did you prepare for the Great Tribulation? And you say, well, yeah, boss, I did. Well, that's why I killed you, because you prepared for the Great Tribulation. Wouldn't you ask this question, boss, if you didn't want me to prepare for it, why did you warn me about it in Matthew 24? Hey, if you warn somebody about something, isn't it because you want them to take some kind of action so that they can avoid the consequences of this problem? I mean, isn't that the purpose of a warning? Well, if it isn't, can you tell me why you would give somebody a warning? You ever warn your kid about drugs? Do you ever say to your kid, hey, drugs are bad for you. Let me explain this to you. Here's what's going to happen to you. You ever warn your kid about drinking alcohol and a binge drink? I mean, my dad took me one time aside and he said, son, you know, you're 14 years old, and I know you're going to go out and get some hooch and you're going to go get drunk. I mean, I don't care who you are out there, boys and girls. You've got 14, 15, 16-year-old kids. Those kids are going to go out there and get some booze. I remember one time I had a couple of Mormon people here from Idaho Falls, Idaho. And while they were here in school, their 16-year-old boy was arrested and jailed. And they got this telephone call, and here they are 2,000 miles away in Missouri, and their kid has been arrested. He was out drinking with some other kids, and he got drunk and, you know, wrecked the car or something like that. And these people were just thunderstruck, just absolutely horrified that their Mormon kid would be out drinking. And I told them both. I said, well, weren't you 16 once? Didn't you go out and get drunk? Didn't you go out and experiment? And this is especially true, you know, when you're trying to throttle somebody down. So my dad took me aside and he said, you know, you're going to go out and drink. Everybody does. You're going to go out and smoke. He was right. I did both. He said, now let me explain this drinking to you. See, now somebody's going to bet you, or they're going to dare you to drink a whole pint of whiskey, or worse, a fifth. And he says, and if you take the bet and if you succeed, it'll kill you. See, alcohol is poison. And you can drink a little alcohol and you can get drunk and you'll survive that. But you read in the Reader's Digest every once in a while where some guy, some kid, some college kid goes out here and drinks a bottle of whiskey and it kills him. Just shuts your body organs down and you die from it. Well, because my dad warned me about that, I never did go out and try to drink a whole bottle of whiskey. And I was dared a couple, three times. And I said, well, here, why don't you kill yourself? You drink it. So that warning saved my life. And that's the purpose for a warning. That's the purpose for these warnings in the scripture. So Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 are put in there by the Messiah himself. He says, hey, let me tell you about this tribulation. So why don't you go read it for yourself? I mean, you don't need a reading lesson from me. I didn't write it, so don't get mad at me. I'm just a reporter. It looks like to me we need to prepare for the Great Tribulation. If you want to prepare for it and you want to know in greater detail how to prepare for these 64 life-threatening problems, why don't you call and ask for my free General Law CD package. And in that package, we have about a, well, probably a 30-minute story in there on this thing of subsistence and survival. Subsistence and survival. Doesn't have very much to do with camouflage suits and guns and bullets and a Waco-style standoff. Well, I would suggest that you avoid that like AIDS, herpes, and VD, but I think that you ought to be prepared for these 64 biblical events that God himself said he's going to send upon us. Did you know that in Matthew 24, he told us to flee from the seacoasts to the mountains? Yeah, that's right. He says when this tribulation hits, you want to flee to the mountains. You'll see that in Matthew 24. And that's what I did. Years ago, I left the seacoast. I used to live in Eureka, California, right there on the seacoast. In 1964, we had a tidal wave scare. Hit Klamath and Crescent City. Didn't hit Humboldt Bay, but we had one come down here. There's going to be more of these tidal waves, and they're going to impact you people along the seacoast. So I moved to the mountains. I just thought I'd get ahead of the curve. So I did. And there's 64 of those, and if you'd like to learn more about them, you know, we get right into it and right up to our elbows, and here's what you need to prepare for, and here's what you need to watch out for, and if you're ready for it, you'll be like one of those five wise virgins that's got all of the oil in their lamps, and you're ready to meet the Messiah when he comes. Otherwise, you're going to be sitting back here dreaming about Alice in Wonderland and the rapture. Now, if you want to dream about Alice in Wonderland and the rapture, get after it. But I think you'll be better off, and I know I'm better off preparing for it. And I'm just about out of time. That's about all we've got to say about the rapture story. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. We'll have a new topic. We'll be talking about something. I don't know just what it is just yet. We'll figure out something. You've been listening to The Law Hour and the Editorial Review, sponsored by the Law School, the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide, on the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, there's the signal. It says my time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.